Good morning and welcome to our thought for the day. This week it was announced on television that the cast of the programme Friends are joining together for a reunion. But we know that in real life, not everyone is friendly. The burglar, the scammer, the racist are all out to hurt us in various ways. As Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount, he explains to his disciples that he has come not to destroy the Old Testament law, but to deepen it. And so it is that Jesus gives us six examples recorded in the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, in which he begins each example, "You have heard, but I tell you." Today we're going to look at the sixth and final example, the example of love. I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 43. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbour and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Let's come to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we consider these verses of your word for a few moments this morning, we pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you would help us to apply your word to the way that we live. And we ask that as we live out our lives, we may be a blessing to others. For Christ's sake. Amen. In these verses, Jesus quotes from the Old Testament book of Leviticus and then deepens the Old Testament law. Nowhere did the law teach hatred for one's enemies. Indeed, the Old Testament in Exodus 23 indicated exactly the opposite. But that is how the religious leaders of the day had corrupted it. Love your neighbour, hate your enemy. Jesus speaks into that teaching. "But I tell you," he says, "love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Jesus is well aware that in this fallen, sin-sick world, evil is present. But there are enemies as well as friends, persecutors as well as encouragers. The enemies of the Lord Jesus will soon ensure that he is captured and put to death, nailed to a cross at Calvary. Indeed, the Bible tells us that all mankind in a natural state are enemies of God, until we experience God's forgiveness and reconciliation through faith in Jesus Christ. God has loved us, says the Bible, when we were yet his enemies, and now he expects us to follow his pattern, and to love and pray for those who oppose us, who curse us, who hate us. It is perhaps true that the command to love others can almost be shrugged aside and dismissed, because we use the word love in such a variety of ways in the English language. We speak of loving certain foods, or perhaps of loving a particular genre of music. And then we use the same word to describe our feelings for our spouses. We love our wife or our husband. But the command in this verse, not only to love, but also to pray for others, particularly for those who oppress us, for those who make our lives harder, comes home to our hearts with a real cutting edge. It means praying for those in our community who despise the church, praying for those in our families who dismiss our Christianity, praying for those in our schools and workplaces who are cynical of our faith, praying for those online who often hide behind anonymity to ridicule and rubbish Christ and the Christian. It is not possible to pray for people and still hate them. Jesus, in our verses today, uses, you'll notice, two illustrations of creation. The sun rises, he says, on the evil and the good. There is no discrimination. The rain falls, he says, on the righteous and the unrighteous. There is no discrimination. In the same way, the love of God's people is to shine on all, to fall on all. If not, argues Jesus, we are no different to the world. If our love does not reach beyond the holy huddle in our congregation, we're no different to the tax collectors' club or the pagans' social group, no different to the close-knit family or the quiz team in the pub. Our love must reach beyond the church. Our love must go further than the world's love. Our love must show no discrimination. In the same way, the love of God's people is to reach out to all places and to all people. John Stott, the well-known Anglican preacher, wrote, "Nowhere is the challenge of the sermon greater. Nowhere is the distinctness of the Christian counterculture more obvious. Nowhere is our need of the Holy Spirit more compelling." The Sermon on the Mount might be described as the most challenging sermon ever preached. If we doubted that, then our verses today are a reminder of that fact. We read of loving and praying our oppressors, our persecutors, and we say in 2021, it's hard to always love when we live in a society where hatred and abuse and division are the frequent reaction one to another. But Jesus challenges us. "You have heard," he says, "you have heard in the perverted interpretation of the law given by the Pharisees. You've heard in the philosophy of the age. You've heard in the modes of contemporary communication to hate your enemies. And social media has undoubtedly enhanced such expressions of hatred. You've heard," says Jesus, "but I tell you, the Christian is called to be different." You know that's the overriding theme and the content of the Sermon on the Mount. The Christian is to be different and thereby make a difference. The prayerful love of the Christian is to be experienced by all who come within our sphere of influence. It's to be the consequence of a life that has been flooded with the great love of God in the Lord Jesus. The task of the disciple, the true Christian, says Jesus, is to show oneself to be the Son of the Heavenly Father. "Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect." The word "perfect" in Scripture means mature or complete. Love is the mark of the Heavenly Father. It is therefore to be the mark of the mature Christian. May God help us to fulfil the instruction of his word. God bless you.